to get on the line. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hi, I'm Simon Majumdar, and I'm telling you to listen to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. It's the best food show on the radio.
And our hearts go out to Simon this week. He lost his father over in London. He's headed back over there. Simon and I have been friends for a few years now, and unfortunately, a great deal of it has revolved around one of us losing a parent. But we're both fresh out now. We should be getting our superpowers soon. Michael, by the way, we're on the air, Mike. I see you're sitting there just flipping through things.
You could do that at home, Mike.
But
you don't know what I do at home.
Play on your cell
nothing.
Phone?
Mike just sits there with a remote control in his hand. The old clicker type, too, Charlie.
One with a wire still attached to the TV.
I got some of the best exercise thumbs in America.
Well, Michael, two questions have been burning in everyone.
Yes.
The first one, did you win? And the answer, no. We'll say we slightly lost to two of the other candidates. There was actually a tie in our.
That's the big names, too.
Yeah. So the other question.
Do you recall who won?
Well,
it was. Not that it matters.
Yeah,
but
there were
two
winners.
From?
One of them was Food and Wine with Chef Gwen, and the other one was Milk Street by
Chris Kimball.
Yeah, Chris Kimball, the guy that invented Cook's Illustrated magazine and the Cook's Illustrated. His show is big. So.
Yeah, and to be in that category was just an honor in itself. Yeah. It's a huge honor.
Yeah. Sure. The other question the people asking me, I know they're asking you too.
Yeah.
Where'd you eat?
Out there?
Yeah. And it was, we started off exactly the way I wanted to. We had time to kill before we could check in. I said, dim sum is the thing to do.
Yeah.
Dim sum good eats, isn't it?
It damn sure was.
Yeah. dim sum is the Chinese version of brunch.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a bunch of tiny little bite-sized things to choose. And it was a huge, it was 5 pages of menu, wasn't it?
It's a lot.
Yeah. And you pick 3 or 4 of these and 3 or 4 of those. And everybody gets a little something. And heck, tip at everything, Heather and I didn't spend $40.
That's not bad.
And had we tried, what, 7 or 8 dishes?
Did. Yeah. Sure did.
Because they're all designed to be pretty much 1 or 2 bites.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll have 3 or 4 of them on a plate.
Mm-hmm.
And we had all kinds of pot stickers like we were talking about earlier and dumplings and just everything. And it was, and they just bring stuff out to you as it gets ready, Charlie. It's not like they hold everything and then bring it out and set it up there. The dumplings are done, take them the dumplings. Let them eat some dumplings. Hey, when that rice is done, take them some rice. So it just slowly evolves after you make your order. And just about the time you're thinking, man, I sure could go for something else. Boom, here comes 2 more dishes. And a beautiful restaurant. It's called Bao's House of Dim Sum there in Beverly Hills. And was really good food, wasn't it?
I really enjoyed it.
It's different than what you've had at a Chinese buffet.
Anywhere around here. Yeah.
Right. The quality of Asian food and Latin American food on the West Coast really is drastically better than anything we've got here.
Because they're closer to Asia?
Yeah, exactly. Because they've got the culture is ensconced in these communities for over 100 years.
Sure.
We've got Latin American and Asian communities here in Mobile, and they're great members of our community. But they're relatively new, 20 years maybe, 25 to 30 with the Vietnamese who came over with the boat people in the late 70s. So they're not as ensconced. These communities have been there since L.A. has been there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we were going to try the boiling crab, which I have been dying to try. The Vietnamese, as we were talking about, landed in New Orleans and discovered the crawfish boil. Then they moved on out to the West Coast and said, let's see what we can do now. We got snow crab legs and king crab legs and Dungeness crab and lobster and all this other stuff. So, Charlie, it's a crawfish boil where crawfish is about 1/10 of the seafood in it. It's about 3 to 4 times hotter than any Cajun crawfish boil you've ever been to.
Yeah.
And you can get it in different degrees. In fact, I think we were going to
say I'm not a big fan.
That's right. We were going to go lemon pepper for Mike. They do it a lemon, but they bring it out in a bag with all this seafood, potatoes, and corn in it, and you just eat out of the bag, and it keeps everything contained. And it would have been fun. It would have been fantastic. We know this because 45 minutes before they closed, they had an hour wait to get in. So,
and they said if they don't call your name by 10 o'clock, you don't get in.
You're SOL.
Well, so, I like the idea of eating out of bags, and I noticed, Mike, you don't have any food stuck on the front of your shirt there, so that
not
bag
the new
must
shirt,
have helped.
New shirt. So we walk around.
I hear that from my wife all the time.
We found a Japanese place called Kopan Ramen.
Yeah.
We had real ramen, not the garbage that's in the little package. And, folks, if you're letting your kids eat that, DHR should take your kids away. It is not a joke. It is the least healthy thing you can eat on planet Earth is those ramen in the little packages. There's no nutrition in them. There's tons of chemicals. But real ramen was pretty good, wasn't it, Mike?
It was delicious. It really was.
It's like pho, Charlie, but it's broth-driven with chunks of stuff in it. It's basically a soup with these great noodles in it, which is what the ramen is. And we had some dumplings that were very good, and it was great. But at the end of the night, Mike had eaten two meals in 1 year that required chopsticks, and he was done. And you should have seen him a chopstick in each hand trying to stab things.
Well, I mean, you're not supposed to stab stuff.
There was one thing that had so much sauce on it, it was so slippery, I just couldn't grab hold of it.
You're supposed to delicately hold them between three fingers so you can... And so I can't do it.
Not noodles.
And then the next day, we go to Santa Monica Pier. We went on a double date.
Yeah.
Folks, we went on a double. He and Lou, Heather and I, we split up, did our little couple stuff there at the pier. And at one point, I messaged Mike, and I said, we're about to ride the roller coaster. Should we wait on you? They couldn't. You know why, Charlie? Well, they were watching a seal play at the end of the pier. A seal.
Hey, you don't see that every day.
I was trying to get fed, but also ran into some friends of mine from Fairhope.
Doesn't I-10 end in Santa Monica?
And so does Route 66.
Yep. We got Route 66.
Route 66.
Yeah. We got a picture under the Route 66 sign where it says that's the end of America.
Yeah.
That end of it. And
so if we get on I-10 right now, we can go to Santa Monica Pier if we just are persistent.
But
what I thought was
like
so odd,
about a week.
What I thought was so odd, we're there on the pier, and there's two people I know from Fairhope, Alabama.
Well, it's a popular place.
Go figure.
And the weather was beautiful.
Get around.
Yeah, the weather was just gorgeous.
Oh, it was. It was like yesterday and today.
Yeah, we popped into Santa Monica in the heart of town, and I found us a burger place. Mm-hmm. Or was that the one that Lou and I tied finding the burger place? Anyway, she and I both found a place at the same time, but this burger place was terrific.
Mm-hmm.
With all Wagyu patties.
Yeah.
And it was just stellar.
It was. Oh, the root beer.
Oh, yeah. All of the fountain drinks, Charlie, were pure sugar, no high fructose corn syrup.
Now, did you all find the intersection of Hollywood and Vine?
Oh, yeah. It's
We made it there. But
uneventful, isn't it?
Yeah, it really
we
is. It's the history involved.
We walked so far down.
I mean,
we walked like 10 blocks.
But here, that's a lot.
I walked 150 blocks last time I was there.
10
in a
blocks
day.
Is almost a mile. Steve.
But anyway,
it's just a mile.
We had a plane to catch. We had to get an Uber to take us back to our car, so we could get out of town and get to the
Mexican food that we finally got. Everyone was yelling at us to eat Mexican food, and I told you my goal was to eat only Asian. Because I've been there. I've eaten Mexican food.
Yeah.
But it was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
We found a taco truck inside a restaurant.
The truck was inside the restaurant.
Mm. And it was terrific.
It was really good. Really good.
Everything was just great.
See, that's a unique concept that I haven't seen around here. Mm-hmm.
And then after the Taste Awards, we went into Hollywood at a place that I had been to before because we were having trouble finding places open in Los Angeles past 10 o'clock. I knew Stout would be open till 4 a.m. That was good beer. That was good food, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it surprised me. I only had three beers the whole time we were out there.
I'm shocked.
That's the only thing. I had three beers.
Yeah. We
and
had
cider.
Yeah, that cider was very good.
It was good.
I am usually not a cider person, but I found it every bit as refreshing and rewarding.
Hard cider?
Yeah. Yeah, as any white wine that I've had.
Out of Northern California. Yeah. And it's
we'll go try and get them on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Gowan, that cuvée cider that I got, I'm telling you, was as good as any glass of white wine I've ever had.
I shouldn't ask you this on the air, but I will because I'm just that way. Did you bring back some interviews for next week, maybe?
Not a one. We were so busy and things were so crowded. I talked to some of my friends. Mike got to meet Susan Irby. I was going to introduce him to Bobby Bogner, who did Food Tech. Bobby's a good friend of mine, but
okay.
The show started, and we'll talk about more about that when we come back.
And folks, you can text us or call us at 343-0106.
And if you don't feel like calling, we don't really care because we're having a good time.
Yeah, we the Beverly Mobilies. We go.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Mention Bob's Diner, Charlie says. Well, heck yeah.
Well,
mention Bob's Diner.
We owe a lot to Tony and the crew. And
yes,
Bob
making this show possible.
They make this show possible at
and
Bob's
the trip
Diner.
Possible.
And the trip possible because Tony was the one that gave the shout out out there and everybody started responding.
He laid down the gauntlet.
He did that. You know, we want to thank Tony at Bob's Diner. We want to thank Deborah Hodges, them at a Hall Sausage, and Richie Gambino at Pizzeria Delfina. And, Mark Clifford at Whacked Out Wiener, and I saw Mark the other day, and
was his wiener whacked out?
He's tired because they just got through opening another restaurant, Robertsdale. They just had Robertsdale grand opening, and him and his wife are going on a little vacation this coming week.
He's earned it.
Yeah. And then, of course, Lynette and Ben over at Buster's Barbecue that you turned me on to. And
that place is good.
Their brisket is off the charts.
That is the main thing I miss about doing the weddings over in Loxley is running down to Buster's.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Roy, our buddy Roy at Butch Cassidy's, helped. And David and David and Donnie Calmetti at Alabama Coasting, they helped make it happen. Johnny Gwynn at the Container Yard and Rochelle at Rochelle's, at Steerburger.
What is the chance she would buy a restaurant that just happened to have her name? That is fantastic.
And, of course, our buddy RZA, who makes great heroes over at Food Pack. Poor Babies, Kenny and them. Poor Babies.
They, Weston they, is such a talented
a great
young
chef. And I know he takes that Hall's meats and uses it.
Let me interject real quick, because I got the coolest message yesterday from Deborah at Hall's. She's talking about Taste of Mobile coming up and wanting some help with it and all that. And she said, by the way, thank you for connecting me and Christy Barber at the Cheese Cottage, because they used Hall's sausage in their raclette Thursday night. It went over great. Now they're going to exclusively use Hall's. We're going to go through Hall's for their stuff. I could see that the beef sausage at Hall's is fantastic. I would love to try that in the raclette.
Yeah.
Take a little break from the
pork. Where is Hall's in Saraland?
Chickasaw.
Okay. Yeah.
They were in Chickasaw. And then
I knew
they
it was one of those Iroquois northern towns.
They were out in a field, and then they built neighborhoods around them.
Yeah.
And so here's this Hall's meat. Hall's sausage and meats in the middle of
the neighborhood. There's another brand that we always hear about. And I think it's important not only because Hall's is a hometown product, but because it's so good.
And here's the thing. We are spoiled in this state with the quality of smoked sausage that we have. Because you get out of really the Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Georgia area, and everything starts tasting like Hillshire Farms smoked sausage, which is a lot of fat and a lot of filler and not a whole lot of flavor. And I'm not a big fan of the Sara Lee Corporation because it's not a food corporation, in case you didn't know. They know nothing about food. They says it on their website. Sara Lee is in the business of brand management, not food. The food is it's hit or miss. The Sara Lee Heart Healthy Bread is the least healthy bread on the market. It has been just ripped apart by nutritionists because it is just horrible for you, and they've got that Heart Healthy sticker on it. But the sausage in this state, and Charlie was alluding to Kaneka. Hall's is fantastic. Was it Kelly's over in Baldwin County is really good. Monroe sausage up in Monroeville is phenomenal as well. Most states don't have four great smoked sausages.
All right.
And that's just what we know here within, a six-county area?
And I haven't had it, but the place there, Robertsdale Farm,
Farm fresh. Everything they
I think our buddy John, Fish River John, hadn't heard from you in a while, John.
That's okay. We love you, though. We watch you on Facebook.
Yeah, but he always talks about how great the meats are there. And Aaron, I know they're just winding up deer season.
I just wanted to interject.
Yeah.
And speaking of halls.
And deer.
Did you see the dish I made last night?
No.
I made, sauce piquant. Mm-hmm. And it's just a spicy tomato sauce.
Right.
Done. And we watched the show last night. They did a sauce piquant. Nothing like mine. Crawfish and venison sausage in the sauce piquant with some rice.
Oh, wow.
And, because we had so much exotic food while we were in California, I wanted just something wholesome that normal people eat every day. So crawfish, sauce, piquant, and venison sausage.
Did you meet any normal people out there?
Yeah. Most of the people out there. Were you surprised at how friendly everyone was in Beverly Hills?
They were. Especially the tour guide people. They kept shoving these papers in front of your face.
Well, but some places.
That was Hollywood.
That's right.
Some places get unfair reputations. I think we have some unfair reputations in other parts of the country. I remember one time being surprised. I spent a day in Boston, and I'd always heard New Englanders are so clannish. I didn't find that at all.
Down
with the longshoremen hanging out on the
dock.
That
way in France.
France Paris, may be different.
Paris wasn't my favorite place.
They earned their reputation
but
in Paris.
Most of them were Asian, French Asian that I've had didn't have a.
Yeah, that'd be predominantly Vietnamese and Cambodian.
But the French good people in the countryside who owned the wineries and owned the restaurants, they were great. People in Chicago are super nice, except for the bus drivers.
Yeah. And they talk ridiculously
You better have
fast.
Exact change or you're off the bus.
Huh?
Yeah. Exact change.
Were not very friendly. But
this is my second trip to Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, Hollywood predominantly in the last decade. And both times I have had the time of my life. Mm-hmm. Everything that I was taught by my parents and teachers and everyone else older than me in Mobile about how crazy California is and why would anyone want to go there? Well, there's a reason 17 million people live in the Los Angeles area. It's a fantastic place to live. Mm-hmm. But 10 cents a bag tax if you want a plastic bag.
Yeah, you got to
I was going to say, it's the politics that –
yeah,
that's
the taxes
California's reputation.
The taxes cannot be legal. There's no way any of those could stand up.
They have a lifestyle on your
meal
ticket.
It's a fat tax.
It's a lifestyle tax. 3.5% lifestyle.
If they
tax.
Think the food you're eating is fattening. Now Heather weighs like 115 pounds.
Uh-huh.
She should not have to pay a fat tax.
Because
needs a greasy burger.
Well, it's called a lifestyle tax.
Yeah, it's a fat tax.
And then
tax.
At Target, Charlie, we go get some groceries at Target, and we're checking out, and we have to pay for our bags.
It's a tax.
Shopping bag, 10 cents a piece.
Was that plastic or paper?
Yeah,
plastic.
They're heavy duty.
They're great bags. They're worth 10 cents, as opposed to the garbage you get at most for plastic bags, and you put an envelope in it, and the bag rips apart.
This one you don't want to throw away.
We brought them home. We're using them in the trash cans. These things are heavy duty. Sure. So at least you get your money's worth for the 10 cents. And it's not Target charging you 10 cents a bag. It's the city of Los Angeles charging you 10 cents a bag.
Well, because they've got to find ways to be able to give all that money away.
This is in Beverly Hills.
But the quality of life out there is really good if you make a lot of money. And
yeah, if you make $220,000 a year, you're poor.
Well, you can probably buy a two-bedroom
in Beverly
tiny
Hills,
house.
Yeah, but Santa Monica was fantastic. Now the award show, people want to hear about the award show. We rubbed some elbows, didn't we?
We did do that.
We were in the audience as Iron Chef Kat Cora gave her acceptance speech for a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Taste Awards.
Yeah, wow.
And
she's a fellow Mississippian.
It don't get no better than that.
Yeah, so that was an honor, and that's four Iron Chefs now, I think, I've met.
I don't know.
Yeah, Bob. Let's see. Bobby Flay interviewed. Mark Forgione I've interviewed. Michael Simon I've interviewed. And Gorna Shelley. I've interviewed her. So that's four. So this is five Iron Chefs now. Up to the lady, Life with Phyllis, Lifestyles with Phyllis. I'm trying to get her on the show. Mm-hmm. They gave that wonderful acceptance
speech. That was a great story. I love
Charlie,
that story.
Her entire show is based on, you're on food stamps? Well, forget the processed foods. Let me show you how you can make this work at a farmer's market. You got to cook yourself. But she said most farmer's markets offer double your money on food stamps.
Food stamps.
So families who need the help can go and get fresh produce and fresh meat and go home and cook it themselves. And their family eats like a king, as opposed to going and dropping $600 at a Dollar General getting frozen pizzas and chips. And I have seen families do that.
Yeah.
Load up entire. Food stamps should not be allowed to purchase processed foods.
Well, and a lot of those folks, and I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to, are working on getting that weight down because they eat junk all the time.
Yeah, but her speech was very inspirational. And
I really enjoyed her speech.
And just her whole story. So many people. You met Jolene Sugarbaker. Folks, go on YouTube. Look at the Trailer Park Queen or the Trailer Park Cooking Show. It's just hilarious. It's funny. It is. She's going to cook a little bit and teach you some stuff. But it's just funny. It's a comedy show. And that's what she was received an achievement award for this time. She can't compete in the regular category. She's won so many.
You flew past it too quick for me. It's Trailer Park what?
Queen. The Trailer Park Queen.
Okay, on YouTube.
Yeah, and the show's called The Trailer Park Cooking Show.
It's just hilarious, just in person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
he, she, whatever.
Oh, my God. And then, like I said, met my buddy Bobby Bogner. I hadn't been able to talk to Bobby in a while. We keep up on Facebook. He's got a new blog or a new podcast coming out. Got to meet his producer and everything. We'll get Bobby on the show in the future. I've got some people lined up to come on. We were so busy, I didn't record a single interview. I didn't even get a liner. But, man, we had a blast, didn't we?
We did that. And, we did that.
And that chocolate bar. We got a great chocolate bar.
Don't worry, Lou. I ain't going to say anything about the chocolate bar.
I will. We broke no laws.
Not in there. Not there.
No, we don't break any laws here.
Here either. Yeah, no,
eating a candy bar in California is not illegal in Alabama.
Is our chocolate fest next weekend? I've got a spot running for it, but I can't remember right now.
Probably it's usually this time of year.
It's coming.
If they ain't got any of that chocolate like they gave us in L.A., I don't want to go.
How much more time we got there, Charlie?
Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
If you can talk fast.
Well, I just want to say it, and we want to say thank you to Patty.
We got a whole other segment.
I know.
Yeah.
But to Allegri Farms, our buddy Pete Blum at Panini Pete's, he came through for us.
And Ed Seafood Shed.
And Ed Seafood Shed. And Seth's Head Point. And another Panini Pete's.
Right, right.
And
also,
is there something coming to Mobile from Panini Pete? Downtown Mobile? Maybe, maybe not. I'm teasing.
I don't know, but
I know the answer.
Work on your list.
But anyway, we had two of my friends I went to high school with. They donated airline miles for us.
And we greatly appreciate it.
And we greatly appreciate it. And Stan, he works in South Africa, and he listens to the show. Mm-hmm. He's probably our furthest distance anybody that listens to our show. But him and my buddy Keith, they donated airline miles. And Steve Cape at Cape Travel, he's the one who coordinated all of it.
Yeah, like made sure we got there. He's a good guy.
Man,
and he knows his business.
He does that. And Steve came through. I met Steve a long time ago in the JC's out the fairgrounds, and so I've known him ever since. And, he did this for nothing. He did it for free.
What a guy.
He coordinated our trip for
us. So if you're going on a trip.
Go to Cape Travel.
Yeah, go to Cape Travel because all of that worked out so wonderfully. And
he did a great job. He did a great job.
As much as flying cross country gets, it was pretty stress free.
Oh, it was no stress except for all the walking we did.
Maybe you need to do a little more.
I am. Excuse me. Okay.
All right, folks. We'll be back for one last segment.
I'll go all Sugarbaker on you.
343-0106 if you want to holler at us.
And I've come to the conclusion, Stu, you know a lot of people. You ever thought about that?
He knows a couple.
Yeah. Well, you walk around this planet for half a century, you'll meet one or two.
That's right. And when you're kind of an open personality, that's great. Yeah. Oh, you want to play the commercials?
No. Okay. I'm humbled, Charlie. I'm humbled.
Huh.
to get on the line. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All them cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess, their delight. When it gets drunk, start singing all night.
This is Chef Tawny Carter from the Prop and Gavel in Monroeville, and you're listening to The Sip and Chew.
Her little girl is growing up so cute.
I've never seen her.
She's about a year and a half old now, just adorable little thing.
Hey, Stu, somebody wanted to respond to our story
Living
we had
Phyllis?
About the food stamps.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got Erica on the line.
From Summerdale.
Hey, yeah. Erica.
Hello, how are you?
Great. What you got?
So I was just driving down the road and flipping through the channels, and when y'all said food stamps, I stopped to listen because that's an issue that I think needs to be addressed. And, a few years ago, a friend of mine had made it known to me that you can buy a Red Bull with your food stamps because it's considered a nutritional supplement. And those are, the issues that I feel like we need to be addressed. Yeah. The country is spending a lot of money on this.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've heard so many excuses. There's single mothers that, don't have time to come home and cook. My mother
Not true.
Was single all my life, and my mother always cooked my food.
Yeah.
I remember shopping at the grocery store, and they had what we called a black and white aisle. On both sides of the aisle were white boxes with black writing.
Yeah,
and that's
non-brand
the aisle
generic
that we
label.
Shopped from. Yeah. We couldn't afford the other stuff, and it's just real crazy, the food stamp issue. It really is.
Yeah, and she is... really tackling it. Folks, if you're on, her whole thing is, if you're on food stamps, it's because your life is not going as well as it should and you can't afford to eat. Well, let's
right.
maximize what you can do with that. Because I've known people that just because they had kids, they got sent food stamps, $600 a month. They didn't have any bills. They're just giving the food stamps to people that
right.
didn't even need it.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids, and they would just go blow it every month as soon as they would get it on nothing but snack food because they had all the food they needed.
Yes, so. And it's, I worked in a deli for a little. You can't buy hot prepared food, which is why Walmart has started taking their deli foods, and when they cook it, they take half of it and they put it in the cold case so you can buy it with the food stamps.
Yeah.
Like, there's just so many ins and outs that people don't know, and, a lot of people don't want to address it because they feel like they're talking down to the group that has to have food stamps, but there's such a larger picture there that just really needs to be addressed.
The reality is, if you qualified for food stamps, it's because you have the time to cook.
Yes.
If you're working, you don't. But Michael Ruhlman's a great food writer from Cleveland. Whenever he hears the subject, moms and dads today don't have enough time to cook. He says bull S.
Yeah.
He says every single one of us had the same 24 hours in a day, and we make decisions on what to do with them. Mm-hmm. Working a 12-hour shift is a choice, not a necessity. Everything
right.
we do in life is a choice, not a necessity. Eating is a necessity.
Right.
So thank you for calling me, Erica.
And if you're raising kids. Great point. And if you're raising kids, pay attention to what you're giving them.
Yep, absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Don't take the easy way out.
Thank you, Erica.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Y'all
have a good day.
Is that
you
our
too.
First call from Summerdale? I think it is.
Yeah.
So, Charlie, you had something?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to mention this because it's coming up quick, and we really didn't
and
have time to get it on the air. But if you are a first responder, especially, whether it's fire department or
police or ambulance
police,
or EMT.
Ambulance, anything, first responders, Southwest Mobile County Chamber of Commerce will hold, and it's this Wednesday, First Responder Day at 9 a.m. at the Tillman's Corner Community Center on Carroll Plantation Road. That's about halfway between Old Pascagoula and Three Notch. And for you first responders, a free breakfast for all of you prepared by Dick Russell's.
Mm.
And if you've never tried their breakfast, you're really missing something.
No,
there'll be entertainment.
Sausage.
There'll be door prizes. kids from a couple of different elementary schools are all going to be there waving the flags. And the public is invited not for the free breakfast, but to come meet the first responders, people that look out for all of us.
Yeah.
And again, that's Wednesday, March 27th, 9 a.m. at the Tillman Corner Community Center. And I hope you'll try to get by there and meet some of these folks. Thank you guys for letting me have half.
Hey, absolutely. Our pleasure, man.
It's our pleasure.
Yes. And Dick Russell's. God, that's a good breakfast.
That smoked sausage.
I like their bacon. It just reminds me when I was a kid, my dad loved, he called it fatback. That's the only thing. It was thick, sliced.
Yeah.
And I think you had to soak it to get rid of some of the salt in it.
Oh, that's salt pork.
They
salt
do.
Pork.
Yeah. Their sausage patties are smoked, and they are so good. And but I'm going to tell you, as far as bacon goes, it's Billy's bacon. And it tastes really good sitting on the sidewalk at Bob's downtown. And you know, you mentioned about
– and Bob's has great chow, too.
The cheese cottage is going to be using
– Hall sauce.
Hall sauce. That's wonderful. And I think another restaurant told me they were going to be incorporating Hall sausage.
It's a great product. It's locally made.
Locally owned, locally made.
Kaneka is fantastic, and it's pork sausage.
Yeah.
But there's a variety with Halls. You have the beef sausage. They have a Cajun style that actually tastes Cajun.
Yeah.
They're andouille, I'm telling you, one of the best you're ever going to eat.
I love andouille.
Yeah. And those Red Hots. You finally got into the Red Hot world.
I finally did. And I finally
that is one of the
over.
Best, cheapest meals in the world, because the right way to do it
cabbage.
Is to heat that sausage up, put it in a piece of white bread with some yellow mustard and nothing else. Maybe a little hot sauce. That's it.
Put it in cabbage. It's good.
Cabbage.
It's great in cabbage.
I wonder how it would be to slice it sideways and make a fried bologna sandwich with it. Fried up like bologna.
I wonder,
Heather, sorry, we're not going to the Gulf. We're having Red Hots today from Hall Sausage.
I wonder if a lot of our snowbirds that come down here for the winter really know about andouille.
Probably not.
They've heard it. They've heard of it on
Food Network.
Yeah. Did you see the link I shared the other day? Food Network and Cooking Channel need us. Our Roger Mooking, love Roger Mooking, was at some place supposed to be doing
I've saved it to watch.
A traditional crawfish boil. They boil everything for 1 minute with no seasoning. Crawfish ain't going to be done in 1 minute. And it is one of the worst things I have ever seen Cooking Channel or Food Network.
Now, who was doing that? Was it Roger or was it the
– It was the guy he was visiting in Nashville at a restaurant owned by people who aren't from Louisiana, Mississippi.
So actually these people are eating semi-raw –
They're eating terrible food. All I can figure is it was all pre-cooked and they were just reheating it. That's all I can figure.
Could have been.
But it was horrible. And the guy
and
narrating it,
because
he just, all that clip is the dude that put his camera on the phone who's from Louisiana going, oh, this ain't right. And your favorite line is, I'm going to pray to Creole Jesus for their souls.
Didn't know there was a Creole Jesus. Yeah, but
apparently so. And
back
he did
in the
not
bio
like the
country.
Crawfish that Food Network
Tibble-o.
Was trying to.
Tibble-lord. Tibble-lord. So
we got 30 seconds left of this.
Man, we still got so much to talk about, but we don't have any more time.
Well, I tell you what, next week we'll meet back here. We'll do it again.
Hey, that sounds like a plan.
So fold over a corner of the page you were on and so you know where to pick it up.
All right, folks, till next week. Get out there, support local, be local, buy local. Yeah. And
thank you to everyone that made
God,
this trip
thank
possible.
Y'all so much. Thank you so much. Maybe we'll be better prepared next year.
And what's the magic word?
Provolone.
Provolone.